Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Tim Swindle. I'm the co-founder of Paddle Smash, and I'm based in Nashville, Tennessee.
Awesome. So can you tell us what Paddle Smash is and how you guys got the idea for it?
Sure. Paddle Smash is a combination, I'd like to say it's the love child of pickleball and spike ball. So if those two went on a romantic date, the outcome of that would have been Paddle Smash. How we came to it was my business partner and I have a background in toys and games, and we were looking for our next project. And pickleball is the fastest growing sport in North America. Spikeball, arguably the most popular backyard game of the past, call it 10 years outside of maybe cornhole. And so we were kind of toying around with some different ideas. And we happened to be introduced to an inventor named Joe. Joe is a structural engineer by trade, has 7 kids, and had come up with this concept that is now Paddle Smash. Didn't really know what to do with it. We got a hold of it, play tested it, and decided to take it to market.
Awesome. So I guess in terms of Paddle Smash, I'm just curious, like, what it looks like today. It's like, who's playing it? How do you play it? Like, for somebody who just doesn't know.
Sure. So it's played best 2v2. So you're working with a partner to bump, set, and smash the ball onto the court and over the net. So the components that come with it are, it's like a hexagonal plastic surface that's about 3 feet wide in diameter all the way around. And there's a net that kind of comes up around that. So it looks a little bit like a UFO when it's sitting on the ground. And then you're playing with a pickleball and paddle. And so you serve down onto the surface and you need to make it up and over the net. And then the receiving team has 3 hits to work together to then get it back down onto the court and over the net. It's a really fast paced game, up to 11. And that's the gist of how you play it.
Awesome. So I guess, like, where is it being played typically, and like by what age groups, like, or have you guys seen, in terms of, I guess what I'm asking even more, so like, who is your ideal customer?
Yeah, so we say the game's ideal for anyone ages over 13 plus, but both men and women, you know, we find the game is substantially easier than spikeball. It's not quite as easy as pickleball to pick up. So it's kind of in between there in terms of difficulty, but both genders, men and women, anybody ages 13 plus, it's very portable. That's another big piece of this, is that, you know, you can take it to the beach, you can take it camping, you can take it to backyard barbecues, you know, tailgating, things like that. So we like to say families with teenagers, that's kind of like our ideal customer profile, just because it can be played with the whole family with those age ranges.
For sure. So in terms of finding your customers, are they mostly buying in retail or from your website, Amazon? What does that look like?
Sure. All the above. So we are on Amazon. We have our own website, paddlesmash.com. When we first launched, actually before we even launched, we had reached out to 3 of the largest sporting goods retailers, Dick's Sporting Goods, Scheels, and Academy Sports. And much to our surprise, they all said yes. And so right out of the gate, we were being carried and are being carried, Dick's and Scheels and Academy Sports, and that's growing. So those are the main channels.
For sure. So you're saying that, like, most of the sales have been through your retail partners as opposed to direct to consumer from your website or Amazon?
Sorry, no. Most of our sales are actually still direct to consumer. I count Amazon as direct to consumer.
Sure, sure.
And so we sell FBA on Amazon, and then we sell on our website. So actually we do most of our sales, I call it 70% right now, through those channels versus retail.
For sure. So I guess, like, in terms of retail, probably a challenge is that people in the store don't really, like, know about the game or, like, what it's all about. So how have you guys gone about explaining the game or even, like, marketing this game to a potential customer?
Right, exactly. So that is the difficulty right now when you're a new game, new brand, people don't have familiarity with the product. We've done some things with the retail packaging to try to circumvent that. We have like QR codes of like, you know, watch how to play this here, and things like that. But certainly the social media presence is big for us. So we have tons of samples of the game being played, you know, cool points that I think are educating the consumers. Plus we've gone viral on TikTok a few times. So like 15 million plus views on some videos. So that's helped a ton. So I'd say you're exactly right in that, you know, with the digital footprint we have, people can watch videos on YouTube. They can see our social media channels. Obviously on our website, we have tons of examples and, you know, material that people can learn about how to play the game.
For sure. So in terms of like going viral and being big on social media, has that been like influencer partnerships or running ads? Like what have you guys done in terms of like your social media strategy?
It's largely been UGC. We've gone the influencer route that has not proved to be as beneficial as our customers playing the game, videoing it themselves, sending it to us. And then we're just posting that on our channels. And that's what's been going viral. So it's cool, because that's the most organic and natural way of doing things. It's not us trying to like do some heavily edited video or anything like that. And then we'll take what performs well organically on social and we'll turn those into ads. And we'll take our best content and then serve it up as ads.
Awesome. So in terms of, you know, for 2024, like what would you say is your main focus? Is it kind of like ramping up retail or, you know, kind of doubling down like on e-commerce? Like what are you guys really like trying to achieve and locked in on this year?
Two main goals. I mean, one is like all the above in some degree, right? We're trying to expand retail. We're trying to grow our e-commerce and Amazon store, but like those are already like in the works. And so as far as like new initiatives for 2024, we're expanding internationally, Canada, Europe, Chile, Australia, UK. So to name a few. So we're expanding, you know, across the globe internationally. And then we're also making a big push into schools. So we work with like camps and youth groups and things like that. But we see schools as a massive channel for us, because with schools, one, they purchase the game themselves. We give them discounts, but they purchase the game and then they in turn become our coaches to teach people to learn the game. So they're introducing it to our potential customer for us. And then the kids hopefully have a good experience and then they want to go home and tell their parents they want to buy the game. So we can see that's already working out really well for us. And so we're developing a plan to, you know, really try to expand into schools this year.
For sure. But I guess like in terms of scaling up and even like when people are buying online and you're trying to increase your average order value, like, do you guys sell like certain accessories or like other products that people can buy along with the game?
We do some small stuff. That's maybe like the downside of games. And in this one in particular, it's like you're kind of buying it once and you're probably not getting them again. So we don't put a ton of focus on retention. The one benefit though, the flip side of that is that games are inherently viral to some extent because you have to play games with other people. So generally speaking, it's someone that has the game, they're bringing it to a party to then introduce to all of their friends on our behalf. And in this case, because it's largely an outdoor game, it's being played in the public. And so the word of mouth marketing for us, which is like a difficult thing to measure, but we know it's very impactful. Just anecdotally, we ask people how they've heard of us. And it's like, oh, I saw it being played in a park. I saw it being played on a beach. So we know that we have enough people just playing it, that word of mouth will ultimately take over and be our best marketing channel down the road.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think when it comes to new things, especially games, like people sort of have to like try it themselves to get an idea of like, okay, this is something that I enjoy. Otherwise, if they're just walking back, I don't know if I would like this, but like if people are trying it or if they're playing in the park, it's something where somebody can definitely enjoy if they give it a shot. So
yeah,
I guess.
Agreed. So we don't get a lot of customers, but yeah, we do get a lot of that type of marketing.
For sure. So in terms of like the business, like as a whole, like what would you say are some of your biggest challenges that you guys face right now?
One was our inventory. So last year was our first full year. We launched in October of 2022. So 2023 was our first year. We also happened to go on Shark Tank late last year in October 20. And we had no idea what the demand was going to be for the product. And our lead times are 2 to 3 months. And so the game is also very seasonal. So spring, summer is a big season. Holidays are a big season. And so we were largely sold out, I'd say probably 6 months out of the year last year. So it's understanding the seasonality of our product, understanding the demand, and making sure that we can be in stock to really capitalize on those seasons.
For sure. So I'm curious, like in terms of being on Shark Tank, like can you just talk more about that experience? Like what was that like for you and how did that give your business a boost?
So it was a little different for us. We were actually approached by Shark Tank producers to come on the show. We still had to apply, but it did feel a little bit like we were being kind of ushered through the process. So they reached out to us in March of 2023, and it was about a 2 month application process of meeting weekly with the production team, developing the pitch, things like that. Then from there, they invited us out to Los Angeles in June, and we went and did the pitch to the Sharks. I can share now that we got a deal with Mark and Robert, Mark Cuban and Robert Herjavec. The show then aired in October of 2023. And you don't know if you're going to air up until 2 weeks before. As I just mentioned, our lead times are like 2 to 3 months. So you have to make a bet on whether you think you're going to air or not in order to have the inventory, because the show has, I think, something like 5 or 6 million viewers these days. And the uplift, the lift from the show is massive. And so, you know, we did, but we still, you know, kind of underestimated what that opportunity was. And so it was cool. I mean, it was all in very good experience for us. We ended up not closing on our deal with Mark and Robert, as often is the case. So after you make the deal on air, you go through diligence, they present a contract, and that's where things just kind of fell apart for us. But, we were still able to air, which is, you know, arguably the biggest benefit of going on the show. So we have no issues with not closing.
So in terms of have you guys gotten like outside funding or are you all bootstrapped? Like, how are you able to build up like all this inventory, even though you weren't 100% sure, but it's not cheap to probably buy all these products. So,
So I'll share, Scott and I, this is not our first rodeo. We've both kind of built and sold a couple of businesses prior. Our plan was to bootstrap it entirely as part of our due diligence process to begin that kind of market research before we had decided to go and launch the product. We were showing it to our network, having people play test it, that type of a thing. And the result of that was, one, I love it. Two, can I invest? And so we just decided, because the price for this particular game to get it off the ground was pretty substantial. That requires a lot of like custom molds and it's kind of an expensive thing to build out of the gate. So we raised a small round of capital early on at like what I consider to be very favorable terms, and gave up less than 10% of the company. But that just helped alleviate some of that initial upfront costs of getting the game into the market. But that's it. And then from there, you know, we were profitable, you know, last year. And we anticipate, you know, that we can just, you know, grow the business from the cash flows.
For sure. Yeah. Cause I was just curious, cause like your products are, as you said, that they're not cheap to build, that they're big products, you know, and it's very, you know, high quality. So like obviously now in 2024 that many companies are looking for use cases for things like AI. So do you guys use AI in your business? And if not, like, where do you think maybe it could help you guys out in 2024?
We are started. I know there's like certain tools that we're using with our ads to, you know, understand which ads to use to create the ads, to create the copy for the ads. We're looking into tools from a customer service perspective. And so we've lightly started using AI on a couple of those different areas.
So in terms of customer service, like where do you think that could help you? Is it more of like, you know, because we spoke about, right, that people might have questions about the products. It's like a new category, kind of answering those questions and helping them just to better sell the product.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even as what we have right now that I think, my business partner kind of handled this, but we were able to kind of like pre-build a bunch of the questions. And so they can ask questions, and then based on what they ask, it can kind of figure out an answer for us. And so I think it's part of like just training the AI to understand, you know, our product. And it's something we're still learning. I'll just say that. So we don't have that all figured out yet. But, you know, that's an example that we can kind of help it early on, I think, to understand what's being asked.
For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started your entrepreneurship journey?
Trust yourself. I think there's a lot of self-doubt that anyone has when they're going into off on when they're going off on their own for the first time. And I put off becoming an entrepreneur probably 5 years more than I should have before I had the confidence in myself to say, let's go for it. And so that's one thing I would just say is like, you just have to, on the other side of that fear is growth and opportunity and learning. And, so just trust that you're going to figure it out.
That's awesome. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Well, I hope we've doubled sales. That's our plan for this year. I hope we're in all those countries that I mentioned, that we're an international company at that point. And that I hope the brand is starting to be more well recognized, that people, are starting to talk about Paddle Smash and the ether on the internet and as a new hit backyard game.
Awesome. And we're rooting for you guys. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website, social media? I guess the best ways to get in contact.
Yeah, so we're available at paddlesmash.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Tim Swindle, and those are probably the best places to find me.
Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. All right. Bye.